Life, Love, and Legacy with Dion Tracy Duckett is an informational program. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not those of Jazz 91.9 WCLK or Clark Atlanta University. You are encouraged to consult a licensed legal or financial advisor for individual guidance.
Welcome to Life, Love, and Legacy with Dion Tracy Duckett. Dion Tracy Duckett is an Atlanta-based attorney practicing in the areas of elder law and estate planning. Through personal and professional experiences, she has gained firsthand knowledge and understanding of the concerns and challenges faced by families and individuals when it comes to caring for aging or disabled family members and loved ones. On today's show, we'll talk about these important issues and offer common sense solutions. Now, here's Dion Tracy Duckett.
Welcome back to Life, Love, and Legacy with Dion Tracy Duckett. I'm Dion, and thank you for listening today. Many, or most of us, find it difficult or challenging to talk about death and grief. As a result, we put off planning that can actually ease the stress and pain that loved ones experience when faced with death of someone close. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Lisa Oliver, who is a life transition educator and certified grief counselor. I will also introduce Mr. Willie Watkins, director of Willie Watkins Funeral Homes. They will help me talk through some of the issues involved with discussing and planning for death. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Lisa Oliver. As a life transitions educator and certified grief counselor, Dr. Lisa Caraway Oliver educates individuals on life transitions and its residual effects, grief, mourning, and bereavement. Through this education, individuals are empowered to make informed decisions concerning advanced care plans and are guided towards comprehending their feelings, emotions, and actions that occur as a result of a loss. I recently participated in a death cafe conducted by Lisa, and I'm going to have her tell you a little bit about that as well. Dr. Oliver, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Awesome. To start, can you please tell us what exactly you do as a grief counselor, life transition educator, and why is it important?
Okay. What I do is I talk to individuals and groups about death, dying, bereavement, and grief. And why this is important, because it's often that we don't have these discussions until the thing is right, in the thing meaning the topic is right in our face. So I'll talk to people about the need for having advanced directives. I will talk to them about what's the difference between hospice care and palliative care. And, you know, why should you plan your funeral? And I do this because I want to mitigate the generational dysfunction that I believe occurs when we don't have these topics addressed ahead of time. Because, again, when we try to have these topics when the moment is right with us, it's often caused with a lot of stress and arguments among families. So that's why I think it's important that we have these discussions before. And when I start to talk and educate people about death and advanced directives and grief, that's when people's emotions started coming through and they talk to me about, you know, what they're feeling, what they're experiencing.
And I agree with you, because I think with a lot of my clients in estate planning, the facing death at the time, you know, when they're planning their estates, they're thinking in terms of the end, and that mm-hmm. causes them to delay in making plans for that as well. But then on the back end, you know, it causes stress for family members who are grieving and having to exactly. deal with those things at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I recently participated in one of your death cafes, which I thought was a great experience. Can you tell us a little bit about the death cafe and how that came about? What made you start doing it?
Right. Well, let me just give some history, because I want to give props to the one who started. His name was John Underwood, and he was fascinated with death. And so in East Hackney, London, he started doing these things in tea houses. And his objective was to increase the awareness of death. And so when you become more aware of something, you start to live your more authentic life. I started to do this because I wanted us to normalize the discussion of death as much as we normalize the discussion of birth. And if I could give an example, you know, not all of us can or want to give birth. However, if I would go to the grocery store and picked out a random 10 people, tell me something about birth, anyone could say only women can give birth. You know, the stomach gets big. There's a lot of screaming and crying. Everyone can tell you something. Conversely, all of us are going to die. And it is not until we are even given, we either ourselves are given a terminal diagnosis or we're in the ICU that we start to think about these things. And so I want us again to normalize the discussion so people can adequately prepare themselves and their loved ones for their death, you know? And I try to get people to understand that when we talk about death, everything has a death and a birth. When you go from being married to being divorced, that's the death of a marriage, but it's the birth of a person living, you know, living without a partner. And so I try to get people to understand that the life transition, marriage, divorce, retirement, everything has a birth and a death. And dying is just not, or I should say dying and death, is just not the physical ending of a loved one or pet.
Death is really a part of the life cycle. And you know, I've seen where some people or some cultures may consider it a celebration of death instead of mourning. They want to have a celebration of someone's life when they die rather than looking at it as a negative thing. So So tell us some more about what happens with the Death Cafe.
You know, one thing that's really funny is that, okay, so I've been doing it here since about 2017. And what I found is that when people, let me back up and tell, like, what are the house rules, so to speak. You know, everyone gets to express what they feel, and no one's going to be judged, and no one's going to try to sell anyone anything, or no one's going to try to get someone to believe a certain thing. And what I found is that once people have that freedom and they know they're not going to be judged, we start talking. And then the conversation goes to, it isn't even about death and dying. It's about all different types of things, which is so wonderful, because then we realize that really death is part of the conversation, and it kind of threads throughout everything in life. Well, when you experience that, we start talking about all kinds of things that is spun off of one question, you know? And so, you know, and people really enjoy it. And we try to limit it to 15 people over the 2-hour period because we want to give everyone a chance to express what they feel.
Okay, and so you call it the Death Cafe. So why is it called a Death Cafe?
Well, you know, John Underwood, the person who came up with the idea, Death Cafe is a social franchise. And as a result, you must call it what it is. Because, again, so many times we use these other words. He passed away. He went on. He, you know. And so John Underwood said, if you're going to do this, you need to not charge money. You need to provide drink. Because, you know, if you think about when we have, like, our best discussions, we might have a warm beverage and some cake, and we're in, you know, and we're in our kitchen. You know, you want to offer a nourishing drink. And you need to call it what it is. It's death. It's a cafe. That's what it is. And a lot of people have asked me, you know, can we call it something a little bit more gentle? And I'm like, no. We have to call it what it is.
So how do you help guide others towards comprehending their feelings, emotions, and actions that occur as a result of a loss?
Okay. You know, it all begins with education. And so I educate people about grief. You know, there's about 11 or 12 different types of grief, you know. But I start with the basic definition of grief, what it is, what it feels like. And a lot of times it resonates with people, because the thing is, we don't talk about a lot how we feel, because many times our loved ones, especially when it comes to something very sad, people don't want to listen to us. And so, you know, what I do is just give them a safe space to talk about what it is they're experiencing. And the great thing about it, you know, there was something this researcher called named Dale Lawson. He called the fallacy of uniqueness. You know, everyone thinks that they're the only one that is experiencing what they're experiencing. So when I have these seminars and I'm talking to people about defining grief and what it feels like, and this is what happens, and this is how you may feel, suddenly everyone is feeling like, oh my God, I'm not alone in this. And then we start sharing stories. And so that's where the healing begins.
And so do you see that the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted how people experience death or their willingness to discuss death?
You know, this COVID, you know, death has always been around. And so what COVID has done, yes, it impacted how people experience death, but more so it impacted our social, societal, our cultural, and our religious rituals. You know, if you think about if a person is ill and they are dying, usually the family and the loved ones all gather around the bedside. Then that person expires, and we all go to someone's house, and we comfort each other, and we tell stories, and we cry, and we eat. Then we'll have a viewing, and again, everyone's around. Then we'll have a funeral. Then we'll have the repast, the burial, and the repast. All these situations, COVID has wiped out because we're no longer able to be together. And so that's where the impact is that, you know, and people are having a difficult time talking about it because they don't know what they're experiencing. Does that make sense? Like sometimes you don't know the situation you're in until you're out of the situation. So you have people saying goodbye to their loved ones over Skype, over Zoom, and that bothers them so much from a spiritual standpoint because they're afraid that their loved one, well, not afraid, but they're, in addition to that loved one dying alone, they're afraid that that loved one felt even worse. The loved one is dying. Not only is the loved one dying, but the loved one is dying alone. So that causes a whole lot of spiritual distress. So, you know, COVID has impacted how people die, but the most impact is our rituals. Our rituals have just been annihilated by this virus. And that's causing more distress and grief than we even know yet. Researchers are talking now that we probably won't know the results of the grief that COVID has done to us for probably another 5 or 10 years. Because again, we're still in the midst of all this going on right now.
Okay. And so if there was one thing that you would advise us to do when it comes to being comfortable with the idea of dying, what would it be?
It would be to understand that in everything that we deal with in life, it's death and it's birth. You know, dying can be a beautiful thing. If we look at the flowers that we may purchase from Trader Joe's or the grocery store, you know, we say they're beautiful, but actually those flowers are dying because they've been cut from their roots. You know, we need to understand that every transition we go through, whether we're retiring, is the death of our work life, but it's the birth of our, you know, of our new life of not having to punch a clock. But in that transition, there's always going to be grief. There's always going to be mourning and bereavement. So once we realize and once we accept the fact that in life transitions, there's always going to be grief, mourning and bereavement, and everything is death and dying, I think we'll accept it more. We just, and like anything else, if we become more educated about it, it's not as frightening. If we just, you know, open ourselves to it. You know, there was a saying that John Underwood used to say is that just like talking about sex won't make you pregnant, talking about death won't make you dead.
That's a good one.
Right. Yeah.
How can listeners keep up with you?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. They can go to www.drlisaoliver.com, and that's doctor with a D-R. So that's DrLisaOliver.com. And there they'll find events to the next Death Cafe, which is going to be on the 11th. I also host Pandemic Grief Cafes, and I have some on-demand education about you know, the types of grief you may feel, about advanced directives, you know, there's all types of great stuff there. And then they can also email me by going to the website.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your being here with us today. And thank you for telling us about your services and about Death Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Life, Love, and Legacy with Dion Tracy Duckett. She is an elder law and estate planning attorney. You can find out more information or you can contact Dion by going to DuckettLawLLC.com. The information on this show is for educational purposes and is not legal advice. You are encouraged to see a licensed professional for any concerns that you have. Now here's Dion Tracy Duckett.
Today I'm speaking with Mr. Willie Watkins of Willie Watkins Funeral Home. Mr. Watkins has been in the funeral business in Atlanta since 1982, and he's going to talk to us about pre-need planning. So let's get started. Mr. Watkins, thank you so much for being with us today. Can you tell me a little bit about your business and how you got into the funeral business?
All right, before I start, thank you for invited me to come in and sit down and talk with you. The answer to your question, how I got started in the business, I got started in the business when I was very, very young, at 8 years old. My grandma used to take me to funerals. And from that time on, I got interested in it. And I was born in a town, raised in a town called Scottsdale, Georgia. And most Sundays, they will have funerals on Sunday for the one loved one. If you died on a Sunday, your funeral will be the next Sunday. So it was fascinating to me how they, in turn, gave the undertaker, so to speak, the respect on handling their loved one. And I just thought that was very. But the thing that really intrigued me to get into business. My grandma and I were looking at someone. It could have been a man or a lady. And my grandma said, "Well, he sure looked good." And I asked her, at this way, is that grandma? Moore is what we call her. I said, "Well, how you going to say he looked good?" And he did. As I touched him, he moved so that he did. She turned around and looked at me and said, "Boy, don't ask me no questions. I don't know how he looked good. And I don't know how they made him look good. Only thing I know, he looked good." And that was the end of that conversation. "Don't you dare ask me that. And you know how old people were back then. You don't question them about whatever they say. You just take it for information." So really, that just really stayed on my mind. And therefore, that's why I entered into wanting to find out, well, how do you make someone look good dead? That started my journey into the funeral service.
Well, that's pretty awesome that you were able to decide at 8 years old what you wanted to do for the rest of your life.
That's right.
So, so tell us, what exactly is pre-need planning and why is it important?
Well, pre-need planning is you plan for your, it's like you plan for estate planning for anything you buy at a home or estate planning, when you're just doing your regular everyday life planning for whatever. A lot of times people forget about that you can also include pre-need planning in that too. Pre-need planning is you planning for not to die, but you plan to have your service done the way you wanted to have it done. And by doing so, that means there's no question about how you wanted your funeral to be and how you wanted you to look as far as dressing, what type of casket you want to be in, and just all those things, those components, dealing with making an arrangement at need. You're doing it now at pre-need. And the most important part about that is it locks you into that particular price for at that particular day, and you pay for it. And you pay for it, your term will be able to whenever it happens, 20 years from now, you still be able to be buried at that particular price.
So you're saying that I could pay for my funeral plans now, and then if I die 20 years from now when, you know, inflation has occurred, then the price that I've already paid is going to be the cost of the funeral.
That's right. That's one we have. Listen, I have them come in here all the time with it.
Okay. And so.
You know how to say to myself, the smart person is a smart person, but when at today's price, I sure don't be making this money.
So, and how much have you seen prices change? What's the range in prices for funerals?
Well, for funerals in the 70s, can go anywhere from the low $7,500 to the high to how much you return want to spend. Well, that price $7,500, that's giving you a very decent funeral service. Then we can do a lower service for you, but we'd like for you to come in and we talk about that. If your money is where it, and you cannot come up with money of that nature, then we try to work something out for you to get you buried.
So I heard you talking about how people were able to look good at their funerals. And you've started thinking about that when you were 8 years old. So kind of tell me, what is your service philosophy?
What is my service like?
Yes, sir. Your service philosophy. Well, principles?
Let me just say this. I'm a non-traditional funeral home operator. Actually, I'm an undertaker because that's what I always wanted to be, was an undertaker. So that's what I am, an undertaker. And I'm an undertaker. He undertakes to do whatever necessary to be done to make sure that his family is taken care of. My service is that I'm a very innovative person in doing what I have to do in order to make service be what it needs to be. I'm not one to follow the traditional funeral service. Everything I try to have my funeral, everything is a celebration.
Okay, and we talked about that being a celebration of life rather than the mourning of death. And so,
I don't believe in that.
So, with the COVID-19 pandemic that we've been experiencing, how has that changed pre-need planning, or is there anything that people should be aware of when it comes to pre-need planning?
Well, I mean, it still hold true to the fact that you still need to pre-need. Pre-plan your service, yes, it is, because the corporate doesn't take away from that part of it. So therefore, you still need pre-arrange. You still can pre-arrange your services, so you'll still be able to know what you're going to have, how you're going to be buried, and how you want yourself to be, whether memorialized or cremated.
Okay, and so if there was one thing that you would advise us to do when it comes to pre-need funeral planning, what would that be?
To plan. Pre-need your service. I strongly advise you to come in and sit down and talk with a representative and talk about your service. Because, see, you find that people come in now to plan somebody's funeral or their loved one's funeral, they're really lost. They're really lost at it. And the thing about it is, once you have your service already arranged, it's nothing to do but to make the call to the funeral home and let them come in and do what they got to do. And you come in and just hand the paper over to them and say, this is what you want.
And so you're saying that by planning in advance for what you want, then you ease some of the stress of your loved ones when the death actually occurs.
That is so highly correct. Because one is when you come in, I've seen family get all confused, get mad with each other because Mama like a red dress, and that's what she going to be in. And then one of them would say, no, she ain't going to be wearing a red dress. She's going to be wearing something white. Mama, let's put Mama in a purple casket. And the other man said, no, we don't want that. I don't like that. You follow what I'm saying? You see how confusing that could be?
Right, especially at a time that's hard for the family in general.
Yeah. And it caused a lot of problems with family being divided. I mean, they were divided and almost had to fight with each other about this situation, which I have seen them fight over, you know what I'm saying? Fight over a situation like this.
I bet.
We were not playing, okay? Then someone said, well, that's all right, then we just go ahead and cremate it. Well, then they showed up upset, okay, about that part of it, especially if they died and didn't have enough money.
Yeah, so what I take from this today is that if people are able to do pre-need planning for their funeral, then it can relieve a lot of stress for family members in a time that is already stressful enough because they've lost someone they've really loved, and it also eliminates some of the family strife or possible strife about what should be done. And so I really appreciate your talking with us today about that. How can listeners keep up with you?
Well, basically, you send it up. You go on our website, and I think we own. I have to get the young people in here to tell you all the things we on Facebook and whatever. And then you come out here and talk with me, you know, and Willie Watkins, or you reach us at send an email to Willie@WillieWatkins.com. Well, I personally like to talk with family myself. I go on all of my services. And I greet all families just in here before they come and make arrangements. And I've been doing it I've been in business here in Willie Watkins on Rapid Avenue for 30 years, and we have five locations there in Riverdale, Lantonia, Douglasville, Carrollton, and here in Winston, five locations.
Okay, and so if listeners wanted to learn more about you, they could go to WillieWatkins.com on the internet. Is there a telephone number that they might call you at?
Oh, yes, ma'am. They can call me at 404-758-1731.
Yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Watkins. It has been a pleasure to have you here. You have been a part of our community for a long time. I see you every day when I drive down the street. It has been a pleasure, and we thank you for joining us today.
Well, I thank you for having me. I have enjoyed talking with you, and I hope your listeners receive some of what we have discussed and make it beneficial for them to come in and sit down and talk. It's called pre-need. Is what you need to do.
All right.
Save the spirit. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Life, Love, and Legacy with Dion Tracy Duckett. You can listen to this show and previous shows on demand at WCLK.com. More information about Duckett Law, Elder Law, and Estate Planning can be found at DuckettLawLLC.com. Or by calling 4848-MY-PLAN or 404-349-2220. Life, Love, and Legacy with Dion Tracy Duckett is produced for WCLK by Rob Maynard. Executive producer is Dion Tracy Duckett. Support for WCLK is made possible in part by Duckett Law, LLC. Thanks for listening to today's show.